Coming up on today's show.
And you deal with adversity, and you can either use that adversity as motivation, or you can go pout and you can go in the corner and start feeling sorry for yourself. And I try to use it every time for motivation.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it, really, just once a week. Last week, before my interview with current New York Jets punter Thomas Morstead, I mentioned that there is a Catholic organization out there that I recently got on the email list for, and never mind one day, over the course of 7 hours, they sent me 4 emails. And that's a big part of why I only email you once a week. While you're on the website signing up for that, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Countless hours add up over the days, weeks, months, and years of training to be an athlete. There are so many times that such a competitor will ask themselves, is it all really worth it? It can be tempting to give up when there are frustrations, challenges, injuries, defeats, and seemingly no one noticing the commitment and the hard work, as well as the good sportsmanship, never mind the continued improvement and results. And that's what makes it so much more rewarding when someone reaches their peak, the national or Olympic team, or winning an MVP award, or being chosen to an all-star team. In our faith life, we wonder if God is noticing that we are putting in the reps with Him and with our prayer life, especially when we're having struggles, say in our family, at our job, or even financially. The Old Testament has a passage that can and should bring us comfort, however. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verses 16 and 17 say, quote, "Better the meagerness of the righteous one than the plenty of the wicked. The arms of the wicked will be broken, while the Lord will sustain the righteous." At the very start of the show each week, you always hear me encouraging you to go to CatholicSportsRadio.net to sign up for the free weekly e-newsletter. In that, you are now seeing an ad for Christian Healthcare Ministries, who I have mentioned over the last 2 weeks has committed to Catholic Sports Radio as a sponsor. Healthcare can be Christian. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a place of Christian community that enables Christians to take care of each other's medical bills. Ready to go biblical with your healthcare? Learn more at chministries.org/Catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest served 1 year ago as assistant hitting coach for Major League Baseball's New York Yankees. He played for 8 seasons in MLB, having been drafted in the first round of the 1998 MLB draft by the Montreal Expos, and then going on to play for them and the Washington Nationals, as well as the Boston Red Sox, Texas Rangers, Seattle Mariners, and Toronto Blue Jays. Along the way, he earned the distinction of hitting the last home run in Montreal Expos franchise history and, following their move to Washington the next season, hitting the first Grand Slam by a Nationals player. He won a gold medal with Team USA at the 2000 Olympic Games in Australia. He was inducted into the National College Baseball Hall of Fame in 2012, 2 years after having been inducted into the University of Florida Athletic Hall of Fame as a Gator Great. Prior to his college career, he played for the U.S. National Junior Baseball Team and was MVP of the World Junior Baseball Championship in 1995. Along the way, he has also coached for USA Baseball and Jacksonville University. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Brad Wilkerson.
Bruce, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Brad. Thank you so much. Let's start off by having you tell us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Well, I was born in Owensboro, Kentucky, little old town in Kentucky, about 70,000. I was an only child in my immediate family, but a lot of cousins I hung out with, a lot of friends, but I was an only child.
Okay. What did the faith life look like in the Wilkerson household when you were a young boy? Was this a Catholic household? And if so, did you attend any Catholic schools?
Yes, I went to Catholic school through fourth grade, Immaculate Catholic School. It's now located, Immaculate's still there as a church, but now it's the Owensboro Catholic Middle School. Things have changed a little bit. There's not as many elementary schools around town, but I grew up at that school and that church. I lived right down the street from my grandmother. She went to Mass every Saturday night. We were right there with her almost every Saturday night. Sometimes we might be at a soccer tournament away or something, but her and my grandfather really led our family in faith-based and the Catholic religion. And then I ended up transferring in fifth grade, but we continued to do the same stuff with our faith and grew up Catholic.
Fantastic. I cannot imagine, with all those highlights that I read off in the intro, that you ever played anything other than baseball. Set the record straight, though. At what age did you first start playing sports, period? And then was it all always baseball, or did you play anything else?
I think you'll be surprised by this one, but I started playing a little bit of competitive sports when I was six, and the first sport I played competitively was soccer. And I played that all the way through high school. I played four sports in high school. I played soccer and football in the fall, and I loved football. And then by the time I got to eighth grade, I made the varsity soccer team, so I had to make a decision. I ended up just kicking field goals on the football team throughout high school, and then I was basketball and then baseball in the spring. So I played four sports in high school. I loved competing. I think my dad just told me, he's like, hey, you're either going to play sports or you're going to get a job. So I played every one and played all year round.
Wow. So what was the tipping point? I mean, being committed to soccer as much as you were for that long, what happened that all of a sudden baseball became the thing for you?
Well, I think, you know, I really liked soccer. I really liked all of them. I loved basketball. I was all state in four sports. I just love to compete, you know, and when I started my sophomore year, turning 15 years old, and I got invited to go Team USA as a 15-year-old in baseball, and I kind of, when that started, you know, we went to the World Series when we were 12, and, you know, didn't really see it then, but I knew I was pretty good. But then once I did that at 15, I kind of figured out, hey, I might be all right at this baseball stuff. So, but I kept competing. I kept playing with the sports in high school and kept competing. I got offers in soccer and baseball to go play both sports, but wow. I knew I couldn't do it. I mean, they're marathon runners now, those soccer players. They're unbelievable how far they run and how long they run. And for me to miss that much time to play baseball, it would have been almost near impossible to do. And then I was fortunate enough to participate in a couple Olympic festivals and then made the national team as an 18-year-old and had that experience and then went to the University of Florida. Okay. So I kind of just, you know, toward my junior and senior year, I kind of started gravitating a little bit more towards baseball, but I always continued to play every sport until I went to college.
So you did just start to mention, yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go with that. You're from Kentucky, yet you went to college all the way down in Florida. Plus, you were headed to the Gators having just been, as I mentioned in the intro, and you just mentioned it, you were the MVP of the World Junior Baseball Championship. That's a tempting environment for a student athlete to get lured into one of the seven deadly sins, which is pride. Did you, in fact, fall victim to, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm a star baseball player? Who knows, maybe even get caught up in the college partying lifestyle? Or did you stay active in your faith and stay humble and resist that description that I gave that could have been?
Well, I think I stayed active in my faith, and, you know, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have got to do what I did without the support around me and people keeping me grounded. I mean, I always went back home to Kentucky when I was playing after the season. I haven't been back much of late just because of family stuff, and I have my own family running around the country, but we used to always go back, visit family, and I really was lucky to have the support that I had from my family, immediate family, my grandparents, and now all my grandparents are passed away. But it was something I'm very thankful for. I never forget where I came from. I always enjoy going back. I always enjoy, you know, seeing them and talking to them. So I never got caught up in the, you know, I kept a very good focus on where it needed to be. And that's, you know, doing what I needed to do in college the right way. And, you know, not that I was perfect by any means, but it was always focused on baseball and schoolwork and, you know, the friends, and, you know, it was a full-time job.
And folks, I think I've mentioned this over plenty of episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. I promise you, I do not send the questions to the guest in advance. Brad would be the latest one to attest to that. But ironically, and this is the Holy Spirit intervening in this conversation, as is the case every week, but when you have the kind of success that you were having at the University of Florida, Brad, clearly you saw that the path was going to lead to Major League Baseball. How prayerful might you have been about all of that? And then piggybacking off of what you just said, was there anyone, I'm thinking Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I'm thinking maybe a team chaplain, or as you were just talking about, perhaps it was someone back home, was there anyone helping you mentally, spiritually, psychologically, as you were about to be drafted into MLB? Just take us back to that time leading up to the Expos picking you in the first round.
I really leaned on my family. You know, I remember back then I used to go to confession, you know, a lot more. My grandmother would push that. And yeah, I leaned on her. I leaned on my immediate family, and they always kept me grounded and always made sure that I was, you know, putting the time in at church and putting the time in prayer. And I always, every game during the national anthem, I always say a prayer, like every night, every game, I'd always say a prayer. And I would always pray that, not that God would give me hits or God's would give me, you know, great performance or whatever. It just give me great wisdom to make great decisions. I've worked really hard. Just give me the wisdom to make great decisions and great reaction during the game. And thank you for the opportunity, because it is really a great opportunity to compete on that level and to compete against the best in the world.
Yeah, and I love when a guest will tell a story like that, that, like you said, you weren't praying for hits, you weren't praying for statistics, it was for wisdom, it was for things that really do align with Christian values. And folks, I've said this in the past, but it bears repeating. I hope you listen straight through each week, meaning that you don't hit the skip ahead button. In this case, I'm referring to the very start of the show. That's not pre-recorded, as any guest would attest. That is me reading it live each week, and I do change it up when there's some piece of housekeeping to pass along. At the start of this episode, I was referring to something I had mentioned at the start of last week's interview with New York Jets punter Thomas Morstead. Something else from that conversation I had with him was my reporting the sudden influx of bills coming into me to Catholic Sports Radio. I reported a couple of them then, and now I have still another, which is $100 for the annual renewal of my membership in the Podcast Academy. That is for continuing education, professional development. Keep in mind that not only am I a one-person operation, but that this is neither my full-time nor my part-time job, and I do not get any income from doing this show. All of that means that I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover the various expenses that come with running Catholic Sports Radio both on and off the air. I ask you as a result to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing. If this show is helping you in your faith life, if you believe in the mix of faith and sports, if you like what I'm doing with the Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and you see value in all that I put into this and would like to support these ongoing efforts, I would be most grateful for your making a financial gift. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. As some listeners and guests who have done it would attest, that is fast, easy, and secure. There is no list of amounts to have to choose from. You simply type in whatever you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Brad, before all that, you told us about the lead up to getting drafted, and folks, there are even more highlights that I could have added to the intro when I brought Brad on, including Brad having been named Rookie of the Year by the Sporting News. But Brad, eventually you got traded to Texas and faced some trying circumstances, such as season-ending shoulder surgery and being on the injured list another time for a month for a hamstring injury. When you get traded, when you have injuries, when you're not hitting, it's easy to be tempted to ask, why me? As much as I read off so many terrific accomplishments of yours, how did you deal with those times of adversity in your career?
Well, I think it's always tough when you get traded. You know, I always thought I was going to be a Montreal Expo my whole baseball career, and I was never going to get traded, and I was going to be one team, and then all of a sudden we're moving, and then I get traded, and it's, you know, a whirlwind kind of. But, you know, like I said, it's kind of the same story. Like, I stay grounded through my faith and through my family, and without them, I wouldn't have anything. Like, they supported me no matter where I went. They were always at games. They were always talking to me on the phone. They were always like, and we didn't really talk baseball. We talked family. We talked friends. We talked faith. We talked food. We talked everything pretty much but baseball. And that's what kept me, you know, going, you know, because I knew that obviously I'm playing for myself and it's a job in a sense. And you deal with adversity, and you can either use that adversity as motivation, or you can go pout and you can go in the corner and start feeling sorry for yourself. And I try to use it every time for motivation. And it's tough. I mean, when I got traded the first time, you're trying to prove to a new fan base that you're worth it. And, you know, I didn't react to it very well in Texas the first couple months, and I struggled. And then I got hurt, and, you know, I had to find a way to rebound from that. And I went back to, that's when I really started visiting. And I was going to talk to you about this. I used to visit like churches on the road. Like, I would go to different cities, and I would go to these cathedrals or some kind of Catholic church that was unbelievable. I'd ask the concierge, like, hey, what church would you recommend me go to? I remember when I got hurt in Texas and we were on the road, the first one I went to, not the first one, but when I started consistently going on the road, it was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I started going to these churches all the time, and I just really felt revived and really put everything in perspective of why I was here and what I was doing with my life.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. How much did you or didn't you bring your faith out onto the field with you during your major league career? And who did you see as far as teammates that clearly were devout Christians, and for that matter, what were they doing that were clear signs to you of their faith?
Well, I just think that, you know, participation off the field was more so than on, so to speak. You know, you see guys doing a sign of the cross and all this
Yeah.
stuff, and they're blowing kisses. And I didn't really get into that stuff. You know, I did my pregame prayer with my head down, I think, and my eyes closed, and I would say my prayer. And maybe I should have been paying more attention to the anthem, but that was kind of my time to say thanks, you know, and thanks for the opportunity. And I didn't get into that stuff, but it was more off the field stuff. It was more the fellowship we found off the field, you know, at chapels, you know, at different things we did together, and talking about those kind of things. Well, a lot of times we talk about baseball, but a lot of times you're talking about life. You're spending, you know, 180 days a year plus spring training, you know, 250 days a year with
Wow.
kind of the same group of guys. And you got to find yourself and surround yourself with people you want to be around. And I was fortunate. I was around some great teammates, some great people that had their lives in great perspective. And I was very fortunate in that aspect of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. In the lead up to today, I read that you participated in numerous charitable functions over the course of your major league career, and that you continue to do so post-retirement, including holding a charity golf tournament annually to raise money for various children's charities. All of that, I'm often heard saying on the show, is an example of being a good Christian. Brad, can you tell us about some of that work in the community?
Well, I really enjoyed it. I wish I would have done more. I've kind of fallen off since I've had children that we haven't done as much. We still are involved in other people's charities and help out as much as we can, but I don't actually do my golf tournament anymore. But we had great success helping numerous children. I just want to see kids smile, you know, and we would bring them to the game with the tickets, whether it be that or the Wounded Warrior Project that we did in Dallas, and just see people smile. And, you know, you take it for granted sometimes that they don't get to come to these games. It's expensive. Maybe they don't have a ride to get there. And, but I never took it for granted. I always gave away tickets. I tried to do as much as I can to get people to the ball games and really get to enjoy that part of it. And then the stuff that we did with the Boys and Girls Club, and locally in my hometown of Owensboro, Kentucky, and then in the Palm Beaches, and the stuff we did with the Boys and Girls Club. It's just awesome to be able to go because I grew up in a Boys and Girls Club. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood Boys and Girls Club where I'd go there pretty much every day, and I would play video games or foosball or shoot basketball or whatever it is and hang out with kids. And it's just a safe place for kids to go. And we built a baseball field back in my hometown. I was very proud of that, partnering with MLB on that. And it's always been a passion to give back. And now I'm coaching and I help younger kids and mentor younger kids and as much as I can.
Yeah, I picked up on you saying I just wanted to see kids smile, and I thought, aha, that's probably a large part of what drives you being a private hitting instructor today, is you want the kids to have a smile on their face and know that it's not the easiest sport. They're going to go out there and they're going to swing and miss 10 times in a row and they're going to get frustrated. But as a private hitting instructor, you can help them work on their swing and correct what they're doing wrong and bring a smile to their face.
Right. And I don't think nothing's perfect. And I've been through some really good times, some really great times, some great opportunities. And I've always been through some tough times. You know, baseball in particular is very hard. And to be able to work with kids on their hitting in particular and just make them understand that it's a lot of work and it's a lot of adversity, it's a lot of failure. And to understand that you have to have, I always tell them, you got to have your time away from the field. You know, that you're not thinking about baseball, you're not breathing baseball. You got to have your time, your family, whatever it is, you got to have your time away from the field so you can actually take a breath and understand why you're here.
And that's such a great lesson. I'm glad that you shared that because for the parents who are listening, if you are the parent who is telling your child you need to be eating, breathing, sleeping, living your sport 24/7, here's Brad Wilkerson, who played in MLB for 8 years, saying, no, that's not the message to be sending to these kids.
I think once they get older and mature, and you know, I'm really a firm believer in these kids being kids. And once they get, you know, deep into high school and then the college, they'll figure it out. If they want to be someone, they'll go get it. Like, I don't think that's the way I try to be with my children. and hopefully it works out for them, but they got to want it. They got to enjoy it. They got to enjoy their time away from the field, because I think they'll be more motivated when they do get to the field to work even harder.
As we head into the home stretch here, Brad, is there one story that really stands out from your time in Major League Baseball, either a true highlight or maybe some other story that has just been something special you've held on to over the years?
Oh, good. You gave me the tough one today, didn't you? I mean, I've been so blessed in so many different stories, and moving to Washington stuff, and the time I spent in Montreal, and a lot of individual accolades. One of my biggest regret of my Major League Baseball career is I never got to play in the playoffs, which stinks, but
Well, I'll filibuster while you think about it, but I ask that question from the standpoint of most people expect to hear some statistical highlight or the couple of the things that I read off in the intro about hitting the last home run in Expos history and the first Grand Slam in Nationals history. But sometimes I'll ask a guest a question like that, and they'll give me an answer that has nothing to do with on the field or on the court or on the ice, whatever sport they played. So, dealer's choice. Maybe it is something fun that happened in a game, but you might tell us otherwise.
Well, I think, like I told you earlier, I was so blessed to be around so many great players, but great people off the field. And we spent so much time off the field and different plane trips, and we got to do some great things. And God, I wish I could come up with something that, oof.
Well, I don't think the audience knows this. I should have said this in the intro, but Brad actually was a pitcher and threw, was it a no-hitter that you threw in the World Baseball Championship?
Yes, yeah, I did do that when I was younger, and I pitched through college, and then once I got drafted out of college, the arm went to bed, and I was just a hitter. I'll never forget. I'll tell you this story. I was the, one of the things I'm proud of, because I'm representing a great organization, the Montreal Expos. I was the last person to wear an Expos jersey in a baseball game. I got invited to go to the Japan All-Star Series, which is MLB All-Star team to Japan the year we were leaving Montreal, and I wore the Montreal Expos jersey in that series. And that's a great story, and I leave a lot of great memories in Montreal. But I remember my 1-year-old went with me, and my 1-year-old was a girl, bald, always had a smile on her face, and she had this thing, like, she was just, everybody loved her, and she hung out with Dontrelle Willis for like an hour. Like, those are the kind of guys that we were around all the time. Like, he sat there for an hour and talked to my wife and talked to Ella, and she was smiling the whole time. And she
Wow.
obviously doesn't remember, but those are the kind of people that when you get to that level, you're around. Obviously, there's some selfishness in the game as far as your performance, and you want to do well. But when you're off the field, they really take the time. There's so many guys that take the time to, pour into your life and, just share experiences. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really humanizes it. Let's close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
We got married in 2006, and we're going on our 18th year, and it was a long time ago, but it was something that, we met in Palm Beach, and we lived across the street from the church we ended up joining. Like, we were there, and I'm so proud because my daughters are so into their church now. They grew up in a Christian school, and they're all in on it. And I'm very proud of that because they really enjoy it. And it has a lot to do with Dana, my wife. She really pushed it. She really wanted us to be a family of faith, and obviously I did too, but she was really the backbone to that whole deal. And we joined a great church, and we love it. And our kids have really flourished in that atmosphere.
How many children do you have?
I have three.
And they're all girls or no?
I got two girls, a sophomore and a senior in high school. And then my boy is 15. He just turned 15 a couple of months ago. And he's in his freshman year of high school. So we
Outstanding.
have been busy, busy, busy.
Well, Brett, I sure appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you and your family.
Bruce, thanks for having me. It's been an honor. I love talking about this stuff and just helping people as much as we can. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. It's been a little bit since we've done that. So let's pray it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.